Think About His Life.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Blossom and Brew podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Regine L. Sawyer, coordinator and founder of the Women in Comics Collective International. And I'm also a writer and publisher over at Lock It Down Productions. Yes. And I'm here with my amazing host.
Hello, this is Ilka Pinero. It's so nice to be here. Once again, I am the founder and owner of the Ilka Pinero Incorporated, wherein we offer shamanic healing and critical thinking and meditation practice. Some love and liberation work. Yes, Reiki, animal communication, various whatnots.
Mm-hmm. We were having a bit of a chat before. Yeah. Before we went live, do you want to kind of just continue what you were saying, and then we'll get to the meats and the juices of the week?
Also, wait, before I even get into it, let's offer some libations to all of the planets that are in retrograde right now, and
oh my God.
And heat, and just give it up, and just give it up, just give up some humility and asks for mercy, as you know, we as we engage on this podcast, you know, touch planets for offering your guidance and influence.
Planet in retrograde, and it goes
seven or eight, like however many we've decided there are right now. At any rate, so I was out and about. Doing my little mask jaunt. I just came in from a very observational experience of like the larger world outside of my little den, you know, of like energy, magic, and cannabis. But what I had noticed was like the way people are presenting. So like, of course, there are people their foods, you know, and there are people, it's like the mask thing is almost, it's almost as if it's like underwear, you know, like it's just like, I don't wear underwear. Some people wear underwear, some people don't. I've seen people with wearing underwear with people like snuggled up to people who aren't wearing underwear. And like, I'm perplexed by it, to be honest. That was one of the things I observed. One of the other things I observed, as I was telling you, was there was this car, which I later found out belonged to a gentleman who grew up in this neighborhood. and it was quite literally parked outside of my apartment for like at least 3 hours. And so it was a reunion of sorts. So he was just there in front of the crib with his doors open and his little, you know, hoopty and his music playing and having his little conversations. It was because I'm living that sultry subtropical air conditionerless lifestyle, I could hear everything he was saying. And I was like, well, this is interesting. Like, this is a bit, like, this feels intrusive. This feels intrusive that you're just like holding court for hours outside, like literally outside of my apartment, you know, on the property line, everything. Like, okay, fascinating, cool. So, you know, whatever, I sort of like, it was an intermittent kind of irritation that sometimes, depending on where I was in my apartment, depending on how the winds were blowing, it was like this dude was basically having his conversations and his kickback in my apartment. I felt like that, it like ranged from that to just kind of like a low, steady hum, right? And so this is New York. We are used to noises, but we are used to, I would argue, noises that move. You know, like you hear the siren and like you get the Doppler effect and that whole shit, and it, you know, it's quiet and it gets louder and it's loud for a minute and then it gets quiet again. You know, like I'm used to that. I can rock with that. But when it's just like sustained, just hectic yammering in front of my space, I find that I was just like, oh, that I hate that. That I can't. At any rate.
It's torturous. I mean, it extends into the issue that we're having not only in this city, but other cities with the fireworks.
Exactly.
They're going on for hours and hours at night. Like, I think it really freaked out one of my cats because when I got up this morning, one of my couches was soaked with urine.
Oh, no.
I'm assuming it freaked her out because this is the second time she peed on the couch within the last
couple
of days. I'm thinking that's what happened.
I believe it.
And I'm in Queens, and we're not getting what other boroughs and other sections of the city are getting, but we're still getting a constant barrage of fireworks.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, yes. Well, I think that that's the connection. Like, I felt like it. Well, we can have a private conversation about the reasons in which, like, that is just the thing that's added to the list, where it's just like, really, like, basically, you know, this condoning of this behavior. On the personal note, and on the general note, yes, absolutely, the connection to the fireworks. Like, because I was like, well, maybe I'm sensitized to it. This is not a thing that doesn't happen, which is proven because by the time I was coming back from my little jaunt with a plan to at least move the energy in a direction that would please me more, he had quieted. Like, the car was blocked up and everything. And I was like, oh, all right, well, I guess the energy got moved. And I noticed that, like, a block down, a different car was doing it. So that made me real. I was like, okay, yeah, that's true. This is a thing that happens regularly. And I am hypersensitive. And then that, just as you linked it, linked me to the fireworks.
But I do have to say, I find it interesting, because I think what we're saying right now links to a lot of things that have been happening.
Yes.
I definitely want to talk about some of this comic book blow up.
Oh, for sure.
On Twitter, and I think it's all connected. I think about how you just said just now that, you know, when you were coming back home, you were saying to yourself sort of like, okay, well, you know, maybe I'm just gonna say to him, you know, this might be a little bit, you know, easier for me to digest, you know. Yeah. Before you had mentioned, like, yeah, before we had gotten on air, you were just like, well, maybe he could play some Prince.
Yeah, no, I had worked it out. Like, I was like, if he's still at the shenanigans and the bullshit, I had a list. I was gonna roll up on him and be like, hi, I hear you're a classic. I live right here. You know, I'm totally appreciating the soundtrack to my life. Do you take requests? If so, can we rock with some Prince, Rogers, Nelson? If you don't have that, I would love some Stevie Wonder. If you don't have that, we could go with some Luther Vandross. If you don't have that, we could do some Earth, Wind, and Fire. Like, I had a list.
The fact that you were going to be accommodating, trying to figure out, like, accommodating as opposed to saying, shut that shit off.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that generally many, many women do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, how do I accommodate so this person doesn't wall out?
Right.
Well, you know,
as well as
simmer down.
Well, that as well as I was like, okay, this is not, like, it would never occur to me. I never have called the cops on people, even when I lived in the hood, and niggas was like, we're gonna play this shit loud as fuck till 4 a.m, right? I'd be like, well, earplugs it is. When it's like that weird and like, you don't know where it's coming from, so you can't go talk about it because you can't really identify it. It's just like taking up the whole neighborhood, you know? So this was like, okay, I was like, all right. I thought about this. I was like, well, maybe this is a practice of mutual aid, you know? Like, or like a community, you know, I don't know, community mindedness. I don't know, you know, some neighborliness, something. And like all of those things that are tied up. And also, so like, yes, there's that. That's the kind of, to me, like, neutralized piece of it. And then you have this sort of inescapable gendered piece of it, where it's just like, yeah, like, I don't know who this fucking dude is. You know, like, yeah, I saw him talking to my family member, but like, that doesn't necessarily mean shit. He don't know me. You know, she might not be available or even willing to take up for me. You know, like, so it's things I have to think about, where it's just sort of like, I have to navigate this pretty independently. And I didn't get too good a look at him, but it looked to me like he was a very light brown or possibly white passing Latino next person. So, you know. But I do want to relate it back to the fireworks before we go into the comics thing, because I want to devote a lot of time, because I want your take on what seems to have been a blustery week.
Yeah.
Okay. So the fireworks thing, I mean, I started my, like, you know, ops, like, radar, I feel like yours too, maybe. I feel like it started to go off pretty early.
Yeah, not earlier than it usually does. I mean, here in New York, you're used to hearing fireworks during the month of June, at least maybe, let's say, 2 weeks before July 4th.
Okay.
I've always been used to that. That's always been the case. Like, you'll hear something randomly, maybe one or two during the night or the week. You'll hear fireworks, but not a barrage. Right. Not like back to back, boom, 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 boom. Nothing of that nature.
Right.
And now that's what we've been getting.
Well, what I just said was, I said the psyops, like the psychological aspect of it, went off early because of that history. Like, I always say, kind of in white Brooklyn, you know, like the gentrification that's gotten here is right by Barclays Center and all that. So it had been loud for me anyway, leading up into it, because I had like that kind of bird's eye view of the proceedings. And so in prior years though, this is a pretty chill spot, even with like the we'll have the sort of influx of like Barclays Yahoos, and then they kind of dissipate, right? And even on my street, it tends to be pretty quiet because we're sort of tucked away. And just like you said, it would be the random, like one or two, just like pop, you know, like that kind of thing, very, very randomly. And even on that, you could tell like that was the black and brown kids that were down the road, or like the little, you know, little rich white kids that go to like Pence or whatever, right, down the street. So So my experience of it and this neighborhood's experience of it was there was no pause. Like, it was just like, this is how it went for us. It was like protest noises, right? And then even after the protests sort of like dissipated a little bit, it was the helicopters. And then the helicopters were pretty consistent. And now the helicopters have sort of died down. And then like to replace the helicopters was the fireworks. And so it just feels like these waves of things that they're doing. That's been my experience of it. And then I started to notice. So I was like something. So I think that was maybe why I was like, oof, like, again, hypersensitive, because there was no end in sight. And so once the fireworks happened, I was like, oh, they're doing this. Like, this is not just randomly. This is not just, this is randomly having this. Like, this is the next phase in whatever the fuck they're doing to be torturous. And then I started to see people talking about it, like on the media, right? And I was like, okay, you know, and then in from all the different places, like all the different states, you know, people with video, you know, like in Harlem, where you are, our other girl in Queens. I've heard like personal, Ohio, Texas, what is it? What's that other one? Chicago.
Yeah.
You know.
L.A.
Yep, for sure. Yep. So I'm like, okay. And that's like my personal experience, or like personal anecdotes that are like one or two people away from me. And then everything I am seeing on the social media, and I'm just like, okay. Like, including the things where like the ex-military personnel are like, yes, this is a thing. This is 100% a thing that happens. This is what we do. This is a tactic we have. This is exactly what's happening. And I'm just like, okay, so are we then all going to be able to have collective conversations where we understand that this is what's going on and move accordingly? Or do we then have to deal with, you know, the naysaying Sallies that really just want shit to be the way it was because it was cushy for them, coming up with, well, what, you're making up a conspiracy and just, it couldn't be that bad. And, well, it happens all the time. And, you know, like this thing.
Yeah, no.
So,
and no.
And so at this point, I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to need y'all to just not push back. I'm so excited for when there's time when black people are believed.
So true.
And in these parentheses, I'm going to put all the fucking asterisks that all the people are going to think about and all the things when we need to, blah, blah, blah. Yes, this is the space for all of the detail shit. But I'm talking about when black people are believed, just like, I don't know, the way like non-black people are believed, even. And it doesn't have to be, you know, exhibit, you know, A through like Z times 27 million for a motherfucker to crack and be like, you might have a point there. And I get curious about where that started. Like, I get curious about where that collective piece of like, we don't believe you.
Where it comes from. You know, we always have the conversations about colonization and marginalization and slavery and so forth. I mean, that's where it stems from. You can't believe, a black person. That's where it stems from. We're liars. That's where it stems from.
No, I know. I know. But I'm just, I, when I look at it through the lens of like shit that is happening now today, and now when it's even, because it's not just Black people being like, yo, the fireworks, motherfuckers.
Of course.
You know? And yet there's still folks. So of course, like, it is an adherence to whiteness, right? You know,
yes.
At this point on this podcast, like, if you don't know what we mean when we talk about whiteness, pause the podcast, go look that shit up, and then come back, because I'm not explaining.
Snaps to that.
So, this adherence to whiteness, this thing, and this, like, and you know, I'm hearing one of my very best friend's voices in my head saying, like, and remember, Ilka, they're all on drugs. Like, none of them are in their bodies. None of them, or very few of them, are really in their bodies. You know, like, in some way they are numbed or disconnected or just unconscious. And yet and still, You know. And I think about conversations with, like, friends I've had where that has happened. You know, where, like, you say the thing and it's this almost knee-jerk reaction to, well, I, you know, and I have decreasing, like, exponentially decreasing patience for it. And now I'll just cuss you. Like, I'm like, you know, the fucking believe Black people in this conversation is over. Like, there's nothing, like, and that's what I mean. Like, it's such a dissonant, it's such a dysfunction. It's such a dysfunction because it's people with whom, you know, I have at least to some degree, to some discernible degree, relationships that are based on an amount of trust, right? An amount of like the ability to take my word for shit. So like, you can't take my word for this? Okay.
It's also patriarchal, you know, in the sense that sometimes also, I mean, in regards to Black people, but also to women as well, you look at as a child, you know, things that you say cannot be believed because you have a child's mind. You know, and people may not even think about it like that because they're not connected to that way of thinking, at least not yet. But it is tied into that. Like when you know, you see these hashtags, believe women, and we're talking about it last week and we're going to talk about it again. But a lot of times people don't believe women because they look at women as children. And the same thing goes for the Black community as a whole, with all the various different genders. If you're outside of, you know, a cis heterosexual male, you're not to be believed. You know, so it's an extension of that, of patriarchy, of whiteness, you know, toxic whiteness. Toxic patriarchy. There's an extension of that. Like, you know, like, oh no, it can't be. It's like, it can't be. You don't have ears? Like, it's like my eardrums are popping out of my skull. Yours aren't? Mm. Because every borough has complaints about this so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, especially if you've lived here for years, you know the difference.
Right.
You know the difference. Because honestly, I've been seeing folks, you know, questioning ethnic people, but definitely questioning, you know, Black and brown men on social media. Like, are you sure? And then the guy flips and is like, wait, no, this is what's happening. And give a huge mansplaining dissertation about why there is a difference between last year's fireworks and this year's. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're mad because this white man does not believe them. So I've seen that and had a great kick out of that.
I remember one time when I was still on the Facebook, a friend of mine had posted something. A white male friend of mine had posted this thing where, like, his intention, like, it was obviously a racialized story. I can't even remember the details of it or whatever it was. And so I clicked on the thing and I read the thing and I was like, yep, yeah, that person had a racist experience. They sure did, you know, and like kind of went to keep it trucking, you know. And I saw and I noticed in the comments that some woman, I didn't even know, you know what I mean? Just some lady, she's obviously a white woman. She came in and she did the thing where she was like, well, we can't assume that it's from there. Lots of reasons that it could be. It's because it's a question of respect. And we have to figure out the ins and outs, the ups and downs, and because, you know, I just don't think that we can just, you know, quickly apply to the racial thing to it and skip it. And I just came in and I replied to her and I just wrote, believe black people.
Yeah.
And then my friend who had originally posted it just came in and liked it. Like, he was just like, click. And then I left. And I didn't say shit. I didn't return the post and say shit else to anybody else in the post. But, like, I am choosing, as of a couple of days ago, to really just sit in the power of certain phrases. Because, as you know, I struggle with this thing of, like, this resistance to identifying as like a teacher.
But you are.
Don't. Just give me a minute. Give me a second. just get a sick. Kids, hey. I struggle with the resistance of that. And so I'm working on ways to accept it. I would much rather be considered a messenger. You know, because I don't necessarily know if I want what I'm perceiving as a responsibility, because, like, we're all in Earth School together, and I also want to be able, you know, to hold space for all the various ways in which I could stomp somebody the fuck out if they stepped to me wrong, you know? And I feel like there's this thing about holding the mantle of being a teacher. Shit, I forgot for a second that we're recording this.
Facts. We are broadcasting live.
For a minute, I was like, oh yeah, I'm on the phone with Jeannie.
I know this is the thing, man.
But anyway, I mean, fuck it, it's out there, fuck it. You know, may it be transformed into absolute protective energy, and it never comes to that because my aura is so mighty that it never even dawns on these jerk-offs to try anything out of order. So it's a non-issue. Look at that! That's what we call transmutation. I still want to be called intentional.
No, but it is. It is. It is. And just, you know, I think that's the best teacher. That person is the best teacher. The person that knows, like, we're still learning. There's still things to be explored. You know, we're still growing as people. That's highly important that we remember those things so we don't let things get to our heads. Because that, for me, that leads into all this harasser,
yep.
A silent perpetrator.
Yes.
Revelations,
yes,
on the various social medias, and it's, yes, important to talk about it constantly in whatever medium you are in, whatever industry you're in, because it's there, you know, it's there. There's always some type of oppression. Oh, wait. Okay, so we have a comment from my brother, actually.
Oh, hey, Tiango.
Well, I think, I can actually show it on the screen.
Oh!
Some white people are totally oblivious to anything and everything about black culture, and only know what they've seen on TV. That's correct.
That's facts.
That's facts.
That's 100%.
Go ahead, and then I'll segue back into
the comments. I have a hilarious story about that. I don't know why, it's just like the chronicles from when Ilka was still on Facebook. So years ago, back in the day, not even that many years ago, Idris Elba posted some picture, some thirst trap. He's obviously shirtless, it's some selfie, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like a bedroom shot, right? So yeah. I, as you know how I sometimes like to dip and dabble, you know, with my comments and stuff, and I'll just sometimes post a thing with no commentary.
Yeah.
So I posted this picture. This woman I know from, like, back in the day, we worked at this job for a couple years together in our 20s, she comes in, and she made some comment where it was, like, right on the edge because she had presumed that this black man was my man. Like, she didn't recognize him as being Idris, right? Mm-hmm. So she presumed that he was my man, and then commented from that. And then the comment was even a little, like, I couldn't quite tell if it was shady. Like, it was something where it was just like, congratulations to you. And it could have, and like, that's how I would have meant it if I were to write that. So like, I couldn't tell with her because she had a history of microaggressions and quite frankly, macroaggressions, where in like, it put it in this gray space. And so I came in and was like, yeah, nah, girl. I was like, while I appreciate your confidence in my ability to bag this type of Negrum, this would be Idris Elba. And I was just like, okay, so you don't know who that is. And that thing where like, they just don't have to know who we are. You know, they don't have to know who we are. They really don't have to know about us. Cause like, and it's easy for them to not, you know, still, because who are the gatekeepers of what becomes popular?
No, absolutely.
Right. So there's so many things about there. Yeah. They don't know. It's like, I think about the show Black-ish and Kenya Barris in general. And like, I like Black. Well, I can't say that that's true. At first I like, there are things about Black-ish that I like, just like there are things about a lot of Kenya's, Kenya Barris's, previous, or earlier, I guess, properties and projects that I like. I give him a side eye for various reasons.
I don't think you're the only one. I mean, I honestly never watched Black-ish.
There are things about it that are really, to me, like kind of lovely and gratifying. And I think that they don't really have very much to do with the creator of the show. Like, I really like the way that show was like styled, and I like the casting of that show. You know what I mean? But like the story, the characters, for the most part, I don't particularly care for them, which is why I stopped watching it. Mm-hmm. So I say all that to say,
as soon as you're ready to segue, I'll be ready to segue because I had to write notes.
Okay, cool, nice. I'm glad. Oh, good. So I feel like, yeah, all right. I hope I bought you time. So, right. So the point of that story is, you know, I watched Black-ish and I was like, haha, and there were things about it. And then like around, and I would drop off, you know, and I'd be like, all right, and I would drop off. And then I realized it was one of those things where I was watching it just to sort of like be supportive. But I still was like, yeah, no, I'll fuck with Black-ish, whatever. And then I was told by someone important to me that their mother loves Black-ish. And I was like, ooh, a 70-year-old Trump supporter.
No.
Well, wait, that's a lie. I can't say that she's a Trump supporter. She voted for Trump. She hates Trump, but she voted for him because she hates Hillary more. That was the story. That was the story at the time, and I was like, okay. And so when I learned that, there's something to that. There's something there. And so just to sort of wrap it up, like with things like that and with stuff in terms of like gatekeeping, in like that, those forms of media, you know, because like those are the forms of media that I'm more familiar, you know, like the film and television and theater and the writing, you know, so, well, like fiction. So see how I'm setting it up to pitch it to you in a second. So yes. So it's interesting to me the ways, the similarities and the differences in which like the gatekeeping shows up from medium to medium, right? What is kind of ushered in or let through or gets through the cracks, you know, and makes me wonder now, like I'm even having this thing where I'm sort of going through the books that I have in my library and like kind of culling by, you know, like, it's just like, do I really like this book or is this just a book that like society told me was good because it was written by whoever, because it was written by a white man or because it was written by like a safe black person. You know, and I think about one of the authors of my very, very, very favorite books of all time and how I was lucky enough to be taught by this person in grad school. And like, they were one of my favorite authors before they became my professor, and how like that is this amazing thing for which I'm always grateful. And then one of the projects they did around the time, I'm looking at the book right now. That's so funny. My eyes just landed on it. That is like, that got lauded and you know, it won all of these like very big deal fiction prizes, right? And I read the book and I was so excited about the book and I was like, I hate this. And it was like, I did not like the book. And there was something about it that was like it was real edgy. And it, to me, blurred the line of like, like, is this licking white people's butts? Or like, is it, or like, is there like a spike?
What is this?
I almost don't want to say. Tell you later. At any rate, it was real edgy, and so I found it so interesting that these gatekeepers, largely white people, received it the way they did, and that made like it made my eyebrows shoot up. And then I get into this space of like, but I want accolades, or not even accolades. It's like I want to live a life so that I have spaciousness and comfort, like comfort to create more things that are helpful to people and useful to people, and like so like accolades in terms of like. Yeah, no, fuck it. I want to be critically, like, I want the shit to mean something to people. You know, like, I don't want kids, but I want some kind of legacy. I can admit that.
I think that's what most people want, especially when you're a creative. I mean, well,
that's what most creatives want, not most people want.
I mean, that's especially when you're creative. That's what I said.
No, I said I think most creatives want that.
They do.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. I was just, like, condensing the statement.
Yeah, that's what they want. And I mean, it's hard to do that when there is gatekeeping, because that brings us back to what I was mentioning about Twitter. Well, not just about Twitter, but the fact of all these different revelations of these various, specifically cis heterosexual white men. There were actually a few women that have been named as abusers, but the amount of white men, I don't even want to say, is staggering. I can't personally say that.
Right. I was going to say, are you really staggered by it? You're not.
No, I'm not. I can't even say it. For me personally, you know, it's not, it's horrible. It's horrible. And I think what I was saying before in terms of how it ties into, I guess, you know, teachers and companies, is that for companies outside of the comic book industry specifically, the way that things were handled was that they lost a bunch of money. Individual companies lost a bunch of money because there were class action lawsuits. They lost money, had to pay out money, and had to completely revamp what their HR system was. You know, they had to hold themselves accountable. Now, things still happen in various industries. I mean, that's a fact, because people are going to people, unfortunately, and terrible people are going to terrible people. You know, that's what they're going to do. But it's important to have certain things in place so they don't think they're going to get away with it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's highly, highly, highly important. But as you know, as I'm watching all these different things unfold, I mean, outside of disgust, I am primarily about, like, what are the solutions? You know, what are the solutions? Because we have teachers, because it was coming out that there are some teachers that teach at these various art schools that have been preying on their students. Mm-hmm. And it's been continuing, you know? And then we had an organization head specifically from the Comic Book Defense League that had been harassing and molesting, I said what I said, molesting women throughout the years. And it was known. It was known. And he finally was removed after 14 years of service.
Mm.
Yeah, finally. But apparently the board knew, as well as other individuals. So it's this thing where you keep these people in place, you know they're problematic, you know they're hurting and harming folks, but you do nothing. You do absolutely nothing. And I decided to tweet yesterday about, you know, our experiences with women in comics, where we've had issues where we've had members that were being stalked. We've had people that were harassing folks at our conventions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say conventions. It was a specific convention. Like, that has happened, and we ousted them. Right. We ousted them. You know, I personally have revoked memberships.
Mm-hmm.
And look, if you ever meet me, you see me. I'm a little woman. I'm little.
Quite petite, yes, very slender.
Quite slender. Quite slender. Sure, you know, but I. I don't play, especially when it comes to my members. It doesn't matter who it is within the membership who is experiencing something. Someone made you uncomfortable, you're not having a good time, this is our event, and someone said what to you, they're gone.
Right.
And believe me, I said my prayers, because I don't want anyone to get hurt. I don't want there to be a backlash. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to be harassed either. But I stood in my truth. I stood in the truth of the organization, and I let folks know verbally, face to face, on paper, I let them know. So when I see, you know, different companies, most companies are not saying anything, by the way, but when I see companies or certain folks saying, well, you know, I'm not sure what to do, I'm not sure what to say. Yesterday, a pledge went up and it had men in comic books basically saying, I pledge not to molest anybody. Basically saying, I pledge not to be shitty. And really, that's the bare minimum. If I can do it, other folks can do it. If I can speak up, y'all can speak up. Like, you know, I have a higher propensity for something to pop. Well, no, I don't, because I claim my safety. But I, in theory, have a higher propensity of somebody doing something to me. I have a higher propensity, but, you know, that's not happening. Right. To be clear. But these other, you know, big strapping dudes, you know, that know that certain things are going on, you know, have been made aware, you know, and still deal with people or still hire them.
I'm having trouble connecting, unstable internet connection.
Oh, are you okay? Are you all right? Ilka?
Hi.
You're there?
Yes, I am again. I was gone for a moment.
Oh no. Oh no.
Well, we just had a little instability with the internet.
You know, I don't edit anything, so.
Well, what happened was, you know, it just, you got a little choppy, and I was like, uh-oh. And then a little sign came up and it said, you know, something to the effect of, the connection is unstable. Please move closer to the blibbity blobs and do the bibbity bobs. So I did that.
I was speaking too much truth.
I know, and I said it. I was just like, I know she out there dropping mad knowledge. So you know what? Shit. I feel safe in saying that I agree with you, and so it was for people listening at whatever point in time. Please continue.
No, I was just saying, like, if I can do it.
Yeah, I heard.
No, other folks can definitely do it. There's big strapping dudes, and you know, and you are aware of some of the things that are happening. You are clearly aware,
Yes.
And yet you have done nothing. And I appreciate the pledge, but I need to see work.
Right.
After the pledge was posted, you know, I saw a lot of different ladies popping up, saying various different things. Basically saying, yeah, nice try, guys. And you know, I'm like, look, I appreciate the attempt, but what I need is you guys to actually do something. And I've been fortunate enough to be at events where one of my male friends will be like, is there a problem? Can I handle it? I'm like, look, give me a second, and I'll decide. Like, let me see. Like, give me a second. But that's what we need. We need people to step up, not step out. We need you to step up, you know, and we can't pacify anybody. And that goes to other folks out there that have pacified things. There are people outside of cis heterosexual men that have, like, turned their blind eye.
Mm-hmm.
Turned their blind eye, given excuses for certain individuals over and over again. I don't see them taking a pledge. Let alone, right. Okay, I don't see them knowing that they have not been helpful or fruitful, because there's a lot of things that have happened. And if people think that it's just these set of men that have been announced, no, there's still more folks. There's still more folks out there that have not been announced. You know, we're still peeling off the surface. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a deep, deep wound. Deep. Deep as I don't
right.
know.
Right.
And again, I do really want people to be mindful of the fact that it's not just cis heterosexual white men. And I said this on my on Twitter yesterday. I said, I personally have had experiences with men, specifically cis heterosexual men, but most of my bad experiences in comic book industry have to do with white women. That's what my and that also goes for a lot of women of color and people of color that I know. They have
It goes for me. I would say that's been my experience in most cases.
You know, so I invite cis heterosexual women and non cis heterosexual women. So I invite them to look at themselves and their behavior towards folks of color. I invite them to look at their anti-blackness, specifically within this industry. You know, because I mean, you know, at a certain point, I think I mentioned this last week, that sometimes the quote unquote prey decides to become the predator because of the various things that happen to them. So in the meantime, I'm just keeping my eye out. I'm staying mindful. It's gonna be interesting to see how conventions change next year. If the culture changes, because people have been talking about, oh, do we not have after parties anymore? Do we not have liquor? And I'm like, no, you don't have shitty individuals at your event. That's what you do. That's
wow.
You do not have shitty individuals at your event. Because we, women in comics, we have events all the time, you know, before the pandemic. We've had after parties. We have a convention. We have, you know, we usually have some type of large event during comic cons. And best believe if somebody told me that there was a problem, it would have been handled right on the spot. And that's just a fact. And, you know, members know that. Mm-hmm. You know, members know that. And they all be like, look, you know, are we ready to handle such and such? And I'm just like, okay, let's do it. You know, that's sort of, that is definitely our, no, it's not to brag or to be, it's just our way. And I think it is because the majority of us are folks of color. You know, we're used to certain abuses, and that sounds terrible, but it's the fact, and we want to curb that as much as possible. So yeah, we have events that have liquor. We have events that have a myriad of genders at the event, and nobody comes out of it mistreated. And again, if someone brought something to my attention, it was right on the spot. So alcohol is an excuse. Right. Going out and having mixed gendered events is an excuse, because some folks say, well, like, if so and so didn't come, if they didn't come, you know, this wouldn't happen. Are you kidding? We showed up, we invited the mistreatment. Okay, all right. So it's been a wild week. Like, if anybody's been paying attention to all the various different folks that have said that they've been hurt or harmed, and, you know, the various different individuals that have been named as assailants and perpetrators. You see, it's not a little bit of folks. It's not at all. So that was my week, Ilka. Even though we had a wonderful drink drawn poll.
We did. It was great.
We had that Saturday, and yes, there
virtual.
Virtual. But I just have to say this: it's an event that we have every year, and it's a live drawing event in which we have live pole fitness models. Yes, that means pole dancing. And so, what I really want to bring home is we have this event. It's generally a mixed gender event with very, very amazing pole fitness model / dancers, and, you know, everybody behaves themselves. I want to put that out there. I have yet to have to kick anybody out of an event like that. I just want to make it clear. So you can do it, people. You can do it. You can behave if you so choose. If you don't behave, you got to get out. Oh, Lord, I can go on a tangent. But go ahead, Elka. Tell folks about the event, because you were a part of it.
What should I tell them?
whatever you'd like.
Well, it was beautiful. I loved it. I thought it was, you know, I am glad that we did it before the retrograde popped in.
Oh my God, yeah.
And we were able to really, you know, get stuff done. I'm glad, you know, what should I even say here? I thought it was great. We did have a couple of snafus. It wasn't completely free of technological hijinks. But you know, it's live theater. You know what I mean? It's live virtual theater. So I feel like I'm really proud of what we did. I'm really glad we were able to raise money, you know. I thought there was some really lovely art that came out of it, including art featuring myself. Yes, the bitch is a muse once again. Yes, dancing. Oh, coming to my space. Oh, my boudoir. Oh, hoodies. So it was lovely. You know, I'm always very impressed by, you know, the energetics of comportment that travel with Women in Comics. You know, travel with your organization is very. It has always been very. Evident to me, you know, that there is like a specialty to the atmosphere that is like around this or your organization and its events thereby. Like even your tables at the, you know, Comic Cons that you invite me to get up in front of people and, you know, teach them about their chakras. So that, you know, like your event feels different. Like once upon a time, I dated a man who was very into comics. And so I found myself like at New York City Comic Con like twice in my life. And I was like, I will be in here for approximately 5 minutes and then I have to go, because he would work it. Like he would, you know, be at the booths and stuff. And be like, come visit me and just whatever, like, you know, this is going to be a She-Hulk. And I'm like, all right. You know, and I was just like, oh, it's crowds and it's really hard to get to this place and it's real big and there's carpets and people smell here. Yeah. And it just was, it was a little child like that. That for me, the way that I am constructed, that amount of humanity in one place is challenging. And so I say all of that to say, when I have been to, granted, smaller events, it's like a breath of fresh air. Like, yeah, I'm going to say that. It's like, to me, this is no disrespect.
Okay.
Like, I love a comic book. I really do. I always have. It's part of the reason I keep attracting comic book people.
That's true.
No, it's true. When I was very little, one of my favorite cousins, like that's one of the ways I learned how to like read and probably see in pictures, because we were best friends when I was real small and he had crates of comic books and he would build a pen with all the crates of comic books and just sort of put me in it. And I would just like toddle around in there and just pick up comic books and read them. So, you know, I have that in me from a long time. And I say all that to say, going into spaces like that, which for me, again, can feel pretty stale. It's like wherever your table was, wherever your people were, would feel, it would be like you were like the Glade plugin, you know, or like the like the open window, you know, like the gentle breeze in a place that like felt energetically kind of like congested to me. So I hope that translates into the compliment that I mean it to be. and into the like reflection of, you know, the reality of that, like the truth of that from a fair, like a not super neutral, but like, yes, outside observer, that like that is very true. And I would even go so far as to say, to relate the tale of like my experience at cons to like the comic book world at large, it feels like there's a lot of like mustiness, you know, like mustiness, wow. Kind of like icky behavior within, you know, these like pockets of like beauty and like, you know, fresh smelling things and sparkle and stuff, you know? And I have noticed it. And I mean, you know, you see the conversations come up in terms of like the art and the way things are portrayed, you know, and it just kind of goes back to how entrenched and how enmeshed all of these isms, right? And like all of the question is, you know, like all the conversations that we have about like such and such character was, you know, sexually assaulted by such and such character, and how, you know, like the Killing Joke and all of these things that we talk about. Mm-hmm. You know? It just feels like yet another sector, or yet another arena in our, like, you know, collective, like, Earth School Coliseum that's just being, like, rooted up. But if you're comfortable, like, I would, like, give me some, like, little tea, you know? Like, yes, like, I completely, it's interesting, too, because I know we had, you know, a conversation in the astral realms about things, but, like, because what I'm seeing kind of, again, from, like, my light sort of touch on the comic book world is that names that, perfect example, like, names that I remember from when I was younger with my cousin, names that I remember from when I was with this man I was with, you know, like, names that he would say, that he'd be like, this person, like, is coming out with a new thing, I'm really excited about it. And it's like, those names are ringing a bell because people that I know about were like, yo, this person is hot shit. And I'm just like, oh, they were about that life. And yeah, so, like, please speak to that. Like, spill tea, girl, because I'm just kind of like, wow. If you can.
I can. What I want to say is just that one of the questions that I see people posting on Twitter specifically is just that, okay, but they did really great art. Like, what do we do with that? Like, they wrote really well. What do we do with that? And it's like, no one's taking away from anyone's creativity. They did this to themselves.
Yep.
You know, it's like they did this to them, to themselves. And we're responding to that. Mm-hmm. We're responding to their bad behavior. Like, you can't sit with us trying to disrespect us.
True.
That's just what the facts are. I mean, in terms of tea. I mean, well, basically, it's out there. It's out there. I mean,
yeah, it's not even really tea. Give us the highlights. Give the lay people the highlights who may not necessarily know.
Well, I mean, the highlights are that I think last week it started with the revelation that I think he's a writer, Cameron Stewart, who I don't even know what he's worked on. Isn't that awful? I think I blocked it out. I know what he's worked on, but I basically blocked it out. I truly have. But currently, like, he's not someone you would have remembered from back in the day. He's like in our age range, but he's worked on a lot of different books within the last few years, and it was revealed that he's been like a serial harasser and abuser, and then within the last couple of days, someone just told me. I know he did some art for Grant Morrison stuff. Okay, he was an artist? Okay, he's an artist. I thought he was a writer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Also, the guys that created Gwenpool, not Gwenpool, excuse me, Spider-Gwen.
Okay, yeah.
Spider-Gwen, but I guess Gwenpool is sort of around it within that scope. Within the past couple of days, it was revealed that they're serial harassers and abusers. Well, Warren Ellis, you would remember him.
Yes.
From probably when you were younger, Warren Ellis.
Yes, I'm
not taken aback by a lot of things. That I was just like, okay, well.
Yeah, yeah.
That. he's groomed a lot of young women. Yes, Latour. Jason Latour co-created Spider-Gwen. I keep wanting to say Gwenpool. Spider-Gwen. I'm reading off comments. We're getting really great comments.
I'm hearing it. I love it.
Thank you for everyone who's watching and listening and commenting. Warren Ellis bums me out. I mean, that was, again, I guess I'm just so accepting. Like, if once I know it and feel it in my spirit to be true, it's just like, well, okay. You know? Okay, it's like, well, you definitely can't sit with us at all, ever. 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 And you need to be punished. And they do. Folks need to be punished. You have to hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. And remember, they're still floating around here in society. So we still have to figure out what to do with them. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to figure out what to do with these people. I mean, that is a part of the solution process. Like, what do you do with these people? Because they're still floating around. They're going to go to the next industry. And are they going to bring that same nonsense with them?
Right.
I know it's Leo. Leo from Black Comics Chat has joined us in the chat. I figured it was you actually in that picture. But I didn't want to presume. But yeah, so yeah, Warren Ellis. And I'm trying to see, there were so many. Some people I didn't know. I was like, who the hell is that? But again, I wasn't shocked. So there's like a whole list of folks. That's way too long. Because then also within the gaming industry, you know, it's several gentlemen have been revealed, including with the last couple of days. Like some, there's been a gentleman. I don't want to call him a gentleman. This dude raped somebody.
Wow.
Okay, he raped somebody, and he's been harassing other women as well, on top of that, and sexually abusing them. So. If he hasn't lost his job, he needs to. Mm-hmm. If he hasn't lost his job already, he needs to. Mm-hmm. Also, I wish these people could go to jail, but statutes of limitations and all that. But again, it goes back to what I said about being held accountable for your actions and figuring out what we do with these folks afterwards as a society.
Right.
That's the larger conversation. But those are some of the names. I know I couldn't get some of the names, but some of them I honestly blacked out. I did. It's just, and, you know, if I see it again, it's like, yeah, that dude, you know. But yeah, there's way too many folks that think it's okay to disrespect, hurt and harm members of our community. It's not okay. You know, I mean, I sound like I'm just preaching, but it truly is. If someone feels like you did something wrong to them, you did something wrong. It's not that they received it in a negative way. It's like you behaved extraordinarily, extraordinarily badly. Like, really. Like, if you don't understand that or get that, I know what I want to tell you, but I'm not going to say it on air. But I will say, watch it back. I will say that. I will say that. So, yeah, that's been part of the week. It's just it's been rough, but it has been cathartic. You know, much love to all the folks that have said that certain things have happened to them. You know, it takes a lot to say that. People don't accuse others lightly.
Mm.
You know, they truly, truly don't. Like, it takes a lot for them to be able to say it publicly, let alone say it at all. So we have to stand by them, and we have to be there for them and protect them, and, you know, and protect each other and love on each other, because that's really important. And if you are interested in helping, you got to keep an eye out. Be more vigilant. Work on your intuitive muscles. If something doesn't smell right, something doesn't feel right, if you know that your friend is a little bit creepy, maybe he shouldn't be your friend. Maybe he shouldn't be your friend. Maybe you need to tell him to lay off. Because a lot of times these guys know, they just kind of write it off as creepiness. Or just like, oh, he's socially inept. Like, no, he is a piece of trash. You know what I mean? And I can go on about that, but I know we're going to be closing up in a minute. So I wanted to know from you, like, what's going on with you for the next week? When are you having your meditations? What other fun stuff is happening? And then I'll talk about my stuff.
What do I have? What am I? What? What? What are we plugging this week, girl? I don't even really know. I think we're probably going to pop back in with some meditation on Friday. We're going to do an Instagram meditation. So what's feeling nice is we have a Tuesday meditation class, as you know, for Aspector New York. That was the company with which we just did Drink John Cole We've told you about them. That's how we know each other. That's where this love affair began. So that happens on Tuesdays. And as quiet as it's kept, we're going to turn that into an all-gender class because it's a virtual class. So hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to say, like, yes, if you want to come hang out with us there, you know, if you're not someone who's on the social medias, this is fully inclusive air. So that's something we've been pushing for too long, quite frankly. And it just goes to show, you know, that thing of, like, the necessity of, like, flexible thinking and creative solution finding. At any rate, so there's that. So Friday is probably going to be a day of some stuff that might be a YouTube day. But until I get that shit completely together.
What were you doing on YouTube? I don't think they know.
What?
Say again? I don't think they know what you were going to be doing with your YouTube.
Well, I'm still figuring it out. So we're probably going to be doing lives. I want to do Q&As because I feel like people have questions about stuff. You know, and of course I love doing journeys, just making shit up. I did a really bananas one today, yesterday and today for the S Factor classes this week. So it's going to be that kind of stuff. It's going to be like guided meditation journeys that are very, and you can speak to this, Regine, but they are very, they're really unique because they're all affected by the collective energetics of everybody who shows up for the session, right? So if there are like three people in the session, like all three of those energies are going to come together and they're going to help me guide us to wherever it's going to be most, you know, opportune for those three people. If that's five people, that's going to be the same. If it's 15 people, it's going to be the same. So it gets pretty wild. And I really enjoy it. I think it's very healing and useful for people. So that's what that is. And then again, if people just have questions about, like, you know, the way I work, if they have questions about the chakras, if they have questions about, you know, non-plant assisted journeys, we can talk about that stuff. If they have questions about plant assisted journeys, you should probably email me about that and not talk to me about it on, like, YouTube. Yeah, so it's that. We just do that. Sometimes we bust out tarot cards. Sometimes, you know, like, Reiki will just kind of happen. Can't really say, got to show up, got to figure it out, because you know I like a mystery and I like to keep it steady and present. So that's, so the days for that are going to be Fridays and Sundays, either Instagram or YouTube. Follow me at the Ilka Panero on Twitter and Instagram, T-H-E-I-L-K-A, P as in Peter, I-N as in Nancy, H-E-I-R-O. That's the plug holes, throwing it to you, baby.
Okay, so, well, for next month, I've been working on some panels for some conventions. So, Women in Comics will have a panel with San Diego Comic Con at home.
Hot.
So we already taped that, and you can expect that panel on Saturday, July 25th. Noon PST, Pacific Standard Time. I think San Diego Comic-Con at home is free. By the way, it's free for anybody to attend. They will have a YouTube channel. They will have a YouTube channel and you can watch all the panels. So they'll have panels like mine. They'll have Hollywood panels and panels for TV shows and, you know, just really, 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 really cool stuff. And everybody should check that out. Let's see. Well, next month we're relaunching the Women in Comics membership. So what that means is that there'll be more tiers to choose from. And you'll get to see some really, really great stuff that I think will be very helpful for professionals. Been working on this for a long time with other members. And you know, hope people will be into it. I mean, especially with seeing what all these other memberships are doing to the industry, I think it might be a breath of fresh air, in my opinion. So you can definitely check out our website, www.womenincomicscollective.org, and check out what we're doing on the membership. Right now, just subscribe to our newsletter, and you know, you'll get some information about what's going on there. I'm also still working on doing a comic book writing series.
Yes.
For, for my Patreon, but I've been so lazy, guys. It's been the pandemic. It's been racial harassment from police. It's been craziness out here in these streets. And, you know, a girl is kind of emotionally tired. I want to be, it's true. But I'm getting back on that, because I already have a lesson planned for it. So that'll be really, really, really cool. And I'll share snippets of the lessons on Twitter, so people can see what they can expect. But I think I'm a pretty good teacher. I feel like I'm working on other stuff and I don't remember. Oh, yes. Guys, you need to check out this new Black nerd media outlet that I've been helping with. It's called Blurred Galaxy. You can follow them on all the social medias at So Blurdy. And check that out, because we're going to be launching this outlet officially the week of San Diego Comic-Con, so the week of July 22nd. And we're going to have a bunch of great content, and you'll meet some wonderful writers and creators that have banded together to create this outlet. I'm trying to hide my teacup from my cat because she wants to drink from it. No,
that's right.
Cat Kiki. But so there's that, and there's some other things that are popping up, and at some point I'll be able to talk about it, but some things will be coming out soon. And so I'm still here, present and accounted for, still figuring things out. So
that's right.
Right.
Girl just over here making smoothie bowls and trying to show up on the mat every day.
I feel that.
Sneaking out with my little mask on to make out with the bodega cat. I love that cat so goddamn much.
He loves you too.
He really does. Imagine a bodega cat. Well, first of all, he's famous. If anybody follows Bodega Cats of Instagram, he is often featured. He's a big old, dirty old, great, handsome old, cute-ass gray cat with some fucked-up-ass ears because he loves fighting, and his cute little pink-ass nose, and he's such a slut. He loves getting made out. He loves snuggles. And he does love me extra, because every time I see him, he bathes my feet and he lets me rub his tummy. His name is Candy.
That's right, Candy.
I knew something truly special was with me and the animals, and also was with me in particular, this animal, when I was like, the day he was like, I'm going to let you, I would like for you to rub my tummy. And I was like, bodega cat? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, are you sure? But we go way back. Like, we've had some real situations where we have found each other in slightly dire straits and have helped each other out. Like, I remember shortly after one of the trash things that was happening with ICE or something in the last 4 years of this administration. Remember the day that, like, all the Yemeni people, like, basically a lot of the bodega owners were just like, yeah, we just don't close our shit up so you can see what it's like to not have us.
Yes, I remember that. Yes, I do.
So those are the folks that run and own the bodega down the corner. And so I remember I was coming back from acupuncture or some shit, coming back. And so this bodega cat, because again, it's on the corner, he kind of has a couple of us in the neighborhood trained to let him in and out of the store. So this has happened over the course of the years. Like, I'll be standing across the street and I'll hear him from across the street inside the door be like, hey, can you stop off and just open the door for me? So I'll literally just go like the two steps out of my way, crack the door so he can get out and do his thing. He'll be like, thank you. So I'm coming down the block and I see him like from halfway down the block, and he sees me and he's sort of like hanging out under the like little vending machines that are outside the bodega. And, you know, and I like, it's like the thing where you see someone from far away and you're like, oh my God, it's you. And like cat got up and started walking toward me and was just like, I can't get inside. It's locked. And I was, and it didn't even dawn on me. Like he was like, will you let me inside? And it didn't dawn on me that it was locked until I got there and just pushed the door. Cause it did dawn on me, cause he doesn't normally like come at me, like he'll wait for you to come. But this was, he was like, hey, there you are, will you do this? And so I go to like let him in and I wasn't even really paying attention. I just go to push the door and realize that the door was locked. And I was like, oh, and it all dawned on me, like all at once. And he looks up at me and I just start explaining the situation to him as best as possible. And as I'm explaining it to him, various people are coming up to us and like joining around and like joining in this conversation that I'm having with this bodega cat about all of the like socio-political ramifications and why he can't get into the store. And, like, you know, it was a very emotional time. Oh, and, and the most fucking joke, the cat comes, it's real talk. The cat at one point just, like, sits between my legs and just sort of rests against one of my legs and just kind of looks up and it's just sort of listening. Was just like, okay, this is comforting. All right, tell me what's what. And by the time it was done, there were, like, three other people there, and we're all telling this cat, like, what's happening. And so it just boils down to me being like, so I'm sorry, Papa, like, you can't go in right now, but they're scheduled to be back at, like, 7, which is only, like, 45 minutes away. So I feel like, you know, if you want to go fuck around in some of the backyards, you can. And he was like, cool. And I think that was really the turning point for us.
I think so, too. Shortly
thereafter, he was like, you can get into his belly. And I was like, oh, the treasure, the promised land.
I love that. That was a great story to close out.
Yes.
Crazy technology ravished podcast. I think so. I think it was. So thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Thank you, Leo. Thank you, Diongo, for commenting and hanging out with us. Thank you for everyone else that hung out with us as well. You definitely can download this later today on Podbean or on listen on Spotify.
I like to listen on Spotify. It makes me feel fancy.
It makes you feel fancy?
All right.
Spotify then. So take care and be well, y'all.
Okay, bye.